Welcome back to the Midlife Hour, where we dive into the intricate world of severance. I'm your host, DP, with my co-host,
that's a grizzly Reptar, bear, and Bob Arcadian.
King of the toughest swords.
It's the worst grizzly ever.
And today we're exploring Season 2, Episode 8, titled Sweet Vitriol, and it might as well be called Sweet Harmony Cobell, because it was all about upper management this week. This episode offers profound insights into Cobell's past, reshaping our understanding of her character and of Lumen, and maybe the history behind the Severance Protocol.
Can I say something real quick?
These revelations,
just real quick.
Damn it.
Sorry, but just real quick.
Intro.
It's important. This is part of the intro, just real quick, for the people. Because I've been hearing a lot of people talk shit about Patricia Arquette in this latest episode. And I truly don't understand the hate. I don't understand the it wasn't as good as the Gemma standalone episode, but the cinematography was amazing in that standalone. And it also had an extra almost 30 minutes. Patricia Arquette's an amazing actress. Stop shitting on her. The only reason you don't like it is because you started watching the show 6 months ago. You're not invested. The people who have been invested for 3 years want to see what's going on with Miss Cobell. Sorry, DP Grizzly. Go ahead. Sorry.
Please excuse my co-host. He's a little off his rocker today. Anyway, starting from scratch. Fuck, Bob. You can't just shit on the goddamn.
I just can't believe these guys when they say that she did not carry this episode. How the fuck dare they? How dare they? That bothers me. And I know it bothers you too because that was a great episode.
It actually doesn't bother me because I'm not personally invested in any of the actual actors or, you know, their performances other than my entertainment. That's about
I was divorced formerly with Patricia Arquette in 97 before Stigmata. And still love her. All right, I'm done.
How the fuck did we get back on track? All right. Sweet vitriol, sweet vengeance, sweet criticism, sweet judgment by our dear friend Bob against those who he perceives as being newcomers. I, on the other hand, think everyone's entitled to their opinion, just like their pronouns and gender. Anyway, Harmony Cobell's return to Salt's Neck. This episode centers on Cobell's journey back to her desolate hometown. It's a bleak, bleak, depressing, but yet beautifully depicted rural hometown along the coast, old fishing village. It looks like it was filmed up in Newfoundland, Canada. I said Canada. It looked quite peaceful. Like, I don't know if it's a little small town nestled along the coast with the waves and, you know, the sea breeze and these bright, vibrant colored houses and everything. The other side of it looks like there's a bunch of meth addicts, but in the world of Severance, I guess they're ether addicts, you know. But we kind of predicted this. I think at the end of the last week's episode, I specifically talked about how I thought Cobell was going to be coming back into the picture.
Yeah, you did. And if I can add, I think this episode beautifully just painted her whole personality and who she is as a character. And why she is the way she is as a character, and almost why she talks the way she talks, the way she walks, the way she walks, and everything. And it was a great look into just Harmony Cobell.
Yeah, I mean, they revealed a little bit about who she is and maybe why she is the way she is. Seeing the interactions with her aunt and her also being a follower of Kier and the almost religious cult-like following they have and obedience to it. To the company. What I found most interesting in this episode, though, was Harmony Cobell's resistance to the Kier path in the way of life, right? She's almost fully accepted that she's not accepted by the Egans, and she's going full rogue. And the big, big reveal is that, hey, she invented the Severance Protocol.
The overtime contingency plan.
She had the whole notebook full of all the blueprints and all of the science and everything.
And I think, not to go back into Season 1 or anything, but that's how you can look into, like, Miss Selvig might not have been such an evil role for her, more so of just like she was just starting to understand or wanting to really be part of the real world for the first time, since this episode really showed that there was child labor, right? The ether Lumen Industries were having child laborers. She said the first time when she got high off the ether with Hampton, she said, "I haven't done this since I was 8 years old." Last time they were 8 was when they were working in the ether factories together. When Lumen was popping, whole town was popping back then. And now it's like a fucking, what is it? Like a blockbuster in 2025. Like, you're not going to find anybody in.
Yeah, it's a mining town on the coast, right? It's like West Virginia, but right next to the ocean, with the same addictions, the same economic downturn, the same depressing socioeconomic statuses. And it's kind of interesting how that is reflected and portrayed on screen, right? Because when the episode opens up and she's going into the diner, the coffee shop, whatever you want to call it, and everyone's kind of looking at her like an outsider, but you can tell that she's trying to exhort like this feeling like, no, I belong here.
The opposite. I had the feeling of they remembered her, but couldn't quite put a finger on who the fuck it was. They gave her that look of like, who is this? I know who this is. And then she kind of had like the, I remember these people, and definitely remembered Hampton, clearly, who owned the bar. But the line where she said, where he's like, this bar is for paying customers. And she's like, well, buy me a coffee then. She's such a good deliverer of lines. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I don't understand the hate. I just don't. And you should be.
I think you have an obsession because there's nothing that was crazy about her acting delivery. It's a very muted, very dull, deadpan delivery. And I get it adds to the eeriness of the story. But there's no like Oscar-worthy performance going on here. Like you're fucking, you're glazing.
It could be an Oscar-worthy.
You're glazing. Anyway, so her aunt still lives in Salt's Neck, in the same house in which her mom died. The same house in which she grew up before she went off to the girls' school, the Lumen Girls' School. And I got to tell you what, that house looked depressing. From the floorboards to the door trim to the doors to the bed. When she went into her mom's room and, you know, you see the hospital bed in there and the old clothes, like, I immediately thought to myself, what does this place smell like? It smells piss. Like the death of all hope. That's what it smells like.
It smells like it's like old lady and cat piss. That is usually what houses like that smell like. Call it what it is. What was her name? Sissy?
Sissy. Aunt Sissy.
Aunt Sissy.
And boy, was she a character. She was like the typical like eerie Lumen employee. It'd be interesting
brainwashed.
To see what her contribution was prior to her retirement or being pushed out or whether she was pushed out. But it seems like a big point of contention between Harmony and her aunt was the belief that her aunt was responsible for pulling the plug at her mom.
Do you believe it was her aunt, or do you think that her mom pulled the tube out of her mouth like her aunt said as she was leaving?
I believe Sissy. I think people in those kind of depressing situations, and then now you're on oxygen, like, why wouldn't you just give up?
Because it goes against all of the core Egan.
I think she was rejecting Egan. I think her mom was rejecting. Charlotte was her mom's name, was rejecting.
Who do you think it was that came to pick Harmony up from Aunt Sissy's house before Hampton let her get in the truck and drive off?
Based on context, I'm probably guessing Mr. Milchick.
Would have been a motorcycle.
No. It would be the tall dude, the tall, eerie dude that was
Drummond,
with
Mr. Drummond.
Eleanor. Yeah. No, Mr. Drummond is the guy with the beard with the goofy ass haircut. I'm talking about the really tall, skinny dude that kind of threatened Harmony.
Slenderman.
Slenderman during her last conversation with Helena outside the Lumen headquarters. That's probably who it was. But
I can see that.
Overall, while there was like a huge piece revealed throughout the story, this episode was kind of long and didn't give a lot of exposition. Like, you really had to wait to the last 10 minutes for the story to move along. The fact that the blueprints were in her personal effects that was inside the little cave or storage shed or whatever that was outside of the house. And two, that you nailed it. You hit the fucking nail right on the head that Devin was calling Harmony. And that's going to play a pivotal role in where things go next.
I try to tell you. And I think what happens next is they click up. You start to see them start a light a fire under Lumen's ass. Because if she came up with the codes and the protocols, she can override those some bitches.
She at least helped repair Mark's brain. Here's the question. Do you think Cobell is severed?
No. You know, and a little off topic, I said about three podcasts ago that I noticed that Miss Huang aged between like episodes 3 or 4 and 5 or some shit. She did. She was like, they went on that hiatus. So you could definitely tell. I thought I was crazy. I'm not crazy. That's confirmed.
Well, if I remember correctly, she's like 18 and a freshman in college. So I mean, it is about that age where you might see some big gaps, some significant changing in physical attributes within a short amount of time, just given that age, right?
But they made her feel like she was about 13 in the show. And that's why it's like, oh, crap, she looks like a grown person now.
And I imagine she's also going to one of those Lumen School for Girls as well, just like Cobell did.
Yeah, isn't that what she's under Milchick's guidance for? He's supposed to be giving her a recommendation for that, right?
Yeah.
So we'll see. I think Marquez definitely has every reason in the world just to go with Cobell, knowing that he's fully reintegrated now, just weighing all the options and knowing that Rugabe's out from the last episode prior to this one. The only option you have now would be to call Cobell, for better or worse. It should be set up for a great finale.
Yeah, I'm curious as to what kind of finale we're going to get, what kind of answers are going to be provided this season. As I've expressed before, I do feel like they're prolonging the narrative unnecessarily, right? And maybe that's just because they're reserving material to secure another season or something. But the season, it's been interesting because they've taken entire episodes to focus on a single character. You know, we had the Corbell episode, the Miss Casey episode. You know, like we're seeing a lot of things from everybody's individual perspective. And on top of that, from a production standpoint, it's been interesting. They've been given different directors, these pet projects, right? So to direct a whole episode from Miss Cobell's perspective in another whole location than what we typically see in Severance, there's a whole different tone to it, color, the colors change. You could just tell that each director has put their stamp on it, and it's almost like an anthology rather than a television series. I've kind of appreciated that.
Ben Stiller and whoever else is helping make this series is killing it. I just hope they don't go past 3 seasons with this shit. End it at 3. Don't be like Stranger Things.
But, Sweet Vitriol Pete appeals back the layers of Harmony's character, and it's kind of intertwining personal tragedy with corporate ambition. And as we approach the season finale, the stakes have never been higher, with the protagonists dismantling Lumen's facade, the corruption, the mystery, the weirdness, the fucking different rooms in the basement, all these different mysteries. It'll be interesting to see what gets wrapped up. I do not want to see a third season of Mark just trying to find Miss Casey. Like, I feel if that's where the season ends, I might stop watching the show.
I said before, they should just make a movie if that's the case, right? And then call it done. Two hours.
You know what? That's what season 3 is going to be. It's going to be Mark going into all these different doors trying to find her. That's how we'll spend the entire part of season 3.
Or him raising Helly and his kid, and it's just like a comedy after that. They don't even have it's not even Severance. It's just Severage? Question mark? And it's like a Malcolm in the Middle.
Well, you know what they say. You're not the boss of me now. And you're not so big. What do you think?
About what you're talking about, Willis.
Scale 1 to 10, where would you put this episode?
Give it an 8.
From a film standpoint, I'll give it a 9. From a storytelling standpoint, I'm going to give it a 4. Excessively long for not much.
It's like 37 minutes.
Yeah, they're cheating us, bro. They are fucking cheating. These writers, man. You can tell this shit would happen during the writer's strike because they're like, how can we stretch this out? Okay, we're just going to fill this with a bunch of weird shots. We're going to have Harmony laying in her mom's deathbed. She's going to reach over. She's going to grab that oxygen tube. She's going to stick
moaning,
it in her mouth.
Though, was that moaning eerie? Was it eerie?
She's going to suck on it. My point being is, there's not much story. And that's been my disappointment.
The story is the backstory of Harmony Cobell. It's the
even
fucking prequel.
In that full
episode
about
why she is the way she is.
There wasn't much story.
I think it painted a really good picture of why she is the way she is, and why Lumen has a control of her mind the way it has a control of her mind. And
if that's
and it also
supposed
gave
to be
us
a rebuttal to my
of,
criticism, then you didn't listen to what my criticism was.
Whatever, nigga. I'm cheesing, fam.
Man. Anyway, sorry if this one's a downer. That's how I felt about this week's episode. I was like, that's it? All right.
Better than you're saying.
You just got a thing for Miss Cobell.
Admittedly, I think Patricia Arquette is a very attractive woman. But she's a better actor. I'm not even going to call her an actress. She's a better actor than you're giving her credit for, too. There's no Severance without Miss Cobell. Keeping it 100.
It just did that thumbs up thing again. I don't understand why it does that for you. And it just doesn't.
I don't know either. It's weird, huh?
Anyway, friends, patrons, random people who this showed up in their YouTube recommended list, or those flipping through the shorts, thanks for joining us again for our review of this week's episode of Severance. See you next week.
We are the midlife hour, and we're gonna boogie all night long. And we're gonna have another hour, and we're gonna boogie midlife hour.